Hello, Australia. It's Chicks Talking Footy.
Hello, the world.
I thought we'd go big for the first time. Our listeners are everywhere. So this is Motti. I'm with Rachel and Beck. We also have Dave as our able assistant.
Thank you, Dave.
on the panel tonight. And we're going to talk some footy, which is a surprise to no one.
This is my first time back this year.
Oh, welcome Chicks back. Talking Footy. Beck. God, sorry, I wish I had a drum roll or something.
I know.
Welcome back. That's amazing.
Well, I spent the summer off, you know, with Dave on the bench, and then I had to, you know, play myself back into just talking footy.
Fair enough, too.
It's taken me, what, 3 weeks? So glad to be back.
Have we only been on 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, right.
Strap yourself in, buddy. You've got a long season to go.
We've just got 27 to go. I mean, not that we're...
Counting.
Not that we're not counting, yes. Okay. Guys, we've got a great show. We have Tanya Hosch, the AFL's General Manager of Inclusion and Social Policy, who'll be chatting to us in about 10 minutes. We have Adelaide Crow player Ange Foley. She'll be on the line. Beck Barracks for the Crows. People, she's thrilled with
just
that.
Just in case you didn't know.
Just in case you didn't know. Oh!
What?
I've just thought about my present. It was going to be a presentation to you, Rachel, and I've forgotten. Oh. Anyway, we may be lucky in here from positive Rachel.
Oh, yeah. Look, she's hard to find, but it is the first 3 weeks, so now's my time to do it.
Yeah, positive Rachel was discussed in our planning meeting, and we set her a challenge that perhaps she could have her own segment.
Yes, just for 1 year, every week, I'm going to try and think of something positive as opposed to negative, which is my status quo or modus operandi.
So we'll see if we can get one over the next sort of 50 minutes or so.
Motti.
Yes, mate.
I have to confess something.
Please, go ahead.
Rachel and I cheated on footy this week.
We certainly did.
What do you mean?
We enjoyed it.
What do you mean?
It was hot.
Okay. It was amazing.
We went to the cricket.
Oh!
We did. We went to the Women's T20 World Cup.
Fantastic. Was it good?
It was great.
It was actually fantastic. It was a wonderful day.
So was that Australia v who?
New Zealand.
Ooh. And down where?
Junction Oval.
Oh, in St Kilda. Near the old Pride, near the new Pride Centre in a couple of years.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great time.
It's actually a fantastic oval. It's a great venue. The grassy knoll, I guess, for lack of a better expression, is wonderful. It's a great place for families. It was a fantastic day of cricket. It was a great game in the end. Australia won.
And Australia is amazing, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know.
Although Elise Perry, injured.
We're going to be in trouble there.
We are in trouble.
She's joining the Tahnee Whites and Ash Brazzles of this world.
Correct.
That's right.
I want to encourage everyone to go to the women's final on Sunday.
Yes, me too.
Fantastic.
Anyway.
Are you going to go? I'll go if you go.
No, I've got to go to a wedding. I forgot.
I also watched a little bit of Sri Lanka and Bangladesh as well, and that was fantastic too.
So there you go. We cheated, Motti, and we liked it.
Yes, it was global and wonderful.
I'm wrapped for you. Okay, so you've had your cheating.
We have.
Got that out of the...
We've got it out of our system.
Out of your system until next week anyway. So let's talk about AFLW around, what was it, four?
Round four, yes.
Halfway through the season.
Gosh.
I know. See, that's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it, four and then two rounds of finals, is it?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, do we think it's starting to solidify as to who's the better teams and who's not?
Just about, I reckon.
It's getting there.
I mean, we can go through one by one. So Melbourne beat Collingwood, which probably wouldn't have expected.
No, because I thought Collingwood had come. I thought this was going to be their season to come good. I watched this game. Melbourne were really, really good.
Well, our mate, you know, the same people are getting the ball all the time, aren't they there?
They are. And negative Rachel would say it's nice just to see Collingwood lose.
No, but that I sanction that negativity. That's fine. When it's about Collingwood, it's fine.
Okay, right. The parameters.
Yeah.
I've got a new favourite player for Melbourne. I'm going to say I noticed her first because of her hair. You know I'm obsessed with hair. Mm-hmm. She has, I've estimated, the longest hair in the league. Her name's Eden Zanker, and she has been fantastic. Ever since I noticed her hair, I've been not watching her play, and she's really good, so keep an eye on her.
Okay. Has she always been at Collingwood? I reckon she was somewhere else.
No, she's at Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so all the excellent players of Melbourne are doing their thing every week, aren't they?
And poor Ash Brazzle and her knee.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, that was awful. You know, at the start of the game, I was watching it with my mum, and I was saying, Ash Brazzle's so good, she's playing this, and then on Sunday she's going to play netball for the Diamonds, and then next thing you know,
she's not
doing anything, so... Shout out to you, Ash.
Yeah, it is awful. And a netballer should really have full strength around their knees because they do so much work on them. But anyway, that is, yeah, that's a big discussion.
11th ACL for the season.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
11th?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's incredible.
Indeed. Tigers went down to Geelong. Geelong played well. I mean, that's a good scoreline.
That's
10-7-67, isn't it?
That's an amazing scoreline.
That's a lot kicked and reasonably straightforward. Mm. Reasonably straight, I should say.
Tigers nearly got their first win. Not quite.
Do you know what I haven't heard? I haven't followed up whether Katie Brennan's all right after
that. No, she's going to miss a week for concussion. Yeah, they said it just before we came on air. Breaking news.
Did Gaz say that?
No, Gaz didn't say that.
I was going to say, Kerry Wilson's breaking football news. Things are amazing.
No, I got that from AFLW expert Sarah Black on Twitter. So,
and Monique Conti was extraordinary for the Tigers.
She's amazing.
But there were too many good Geelong players. Phoebe McWilliams was everywhere, and our mate Nina Morrison still playing beautifully. Okay, North beat Gold Coast.
I went to this game.
Oh, yes.
So it was the first game at Arden Street, and that's 10 minutes walk down the road from me. So I thought, why not pop down, see what it's about. It was a great time. It was such a good atmosphere. There was a lot of, like, old school North Melbourne people there. But then there was a lot of families. There was a lot of kids. There's nowhere really to sit, but you can sit on grass. There's no seats. But it was great. I had a drink and did a couple of laps and...
My usual question, catering, what was on offer?
Very difficult to find a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
That's disappointing.
But short lines at the bar, so you can't have everything.
No.
I quite like the use of these suburban ovals.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
I do too.
And I thought the game was quite good. I'm going to be honest, the third quarter I didn't watch because these two people next to me started a conversation about how the guy was about to be the best man in a wedding where his ex-wife was the maid of honour.
Golly. Oh, and wow.
I was like, sorry, North Melbourne and Gold Coast, I've got to eavesdrop on this. So that was my third quarter. But the rest of the game, Gold Coast were not bad.
No. Well, they're kicking it. They're kicking the ball. They're kicking some goals. That's good. It's better than the first, year, isn't it? All turned to the first year.
True.
West Coast finally had a win. So, and they beat...
Over the Bulldogs.
Wow, it was just so far. I mean, that's a long trip over to Perth and then north of Perth, which is where they had to play. So if they were going to lose a game, the Bulldogs, it's not surprising that it's that one.
I expected more of the Bulldogs this year.
Did you?
That's all I'm saying.
Huntington's playing well.
She's
incredible.
It's good to see her out there, isn't it? Playing well.
Three really difficult years she's had.
Yeah.
Adelaide were defeated by Carlton in the grand final replay.
Yes, I was none too pleased with that whole situation, Susanna. I was doing a lot of yelling at the TV. It was great to have Aaron Phillips and Rhianna Metcalf back, but they should have won. They let the game go, and I told them as much through my television.
What did you think about Aaron Phillips' return?
I thought she seemed a little bit shaky. Like, she was great. I mean, she did what she had to do, but there were her first couple of marks she took in front of goal. She didn't give it a crack. She passed it off and they both didn't.
She looked a bit shy.
I suppose that's normal after you come back from a reco.
Exactly.
Well, she's amazing and I reckon that'll be a big game back for her and she'll only improve from now on. One-point game, Fremantle beat the Saints by 1 point and Brisbane defeated the GWS, which is not a surprise.
No.
You're with Chicks Talking Footy. Well, you're here with Beck, with Rachel and with me, Motti, and we are delighted to welcome the General Manager of Inclusion and Social Policy at the AFL, Tanya Hosh. Hi there, Tanya.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Ah, it's a great pleasure. We've been wanting to chat to you for quite some time now, so pleased you could make it. Now, that is a fascinating title, the General Manager of Inclusion and Social Policy. Can you just explain or expand a little bit on what it actually means?
How long do we have? look, it's a really great role, and it is necessarily broad. So the main areas that myself and my team work on, and with people right across the business, is obviously on issues of inclusion and you know, dealing with anything from racism and sexism, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues, multiculturalism in relation to participation in our game, gender, sexuality, and, you know, transgender, non-binary issues as well, increasingly disability and communities, I guess, who may have found themselves or feel like they're on the fringe of our game. So my job is to really, it's not a football operational role, but it's a role that gives me an opportunity to work with the clubs and the whole industry, including within the AFL, about how we make the game more accessible for people and to make sure that everyone feels welcome when they come to the footy.
Now, Tanya, in 10 words or less, how do you do that? How do you make everyone feel welcome?
In 10 words or less, that's very funny. Well, obviously, it's a pretty complex ecosystem that we operate in. And, you know, it's been around for a long time as well, so it's got certain traditions in place. So things like Pride Game, obviously the Sir Doug Nicholls Round, which has been around for a long time now. There's a whole range of activations and focus points across the fixture, across the year, where we do, I guess, try to connect with particular community groups, make sure that we put a bit of focus and attention on the issues that they want us to understand and try and celebrate their participation in our game. That is obviously the most basic way, but there's a lot of policy work and consultation and conversations happening behind the actual game of football all of the time.
I got dizzy listening to the list of things that are in your broad and far-reaching role. Which what sector do you find, let's just say, this week, the most challenging?
Most challenging. It would be hard to say because, you know, everything's sort of complex in its own way. But I guess, you know, when you look at the idea of inclusion and diversity, I mean, certainly it's not really that hard to get a lot of people from different backgrounds to come to the football. But how do we work to ensure that people actually feel included by ensuring that their voices and participation is represented right across the code? And that really requires a lot of cultural change, and that takes time to do it in a way that means it's sustainable and not just, you know, a one-hit wonder comes for a week or a season and then we've moved on to something else. It takes real time. So I guess I would say it doesn't matter which issue you're looking at, how we embed it through our system, how we respond more quickly and consistently to the different issues that come our way in relation to the sort of broadening of inclusion through our game is in itself really complex, and that is a real challenge, but it's one that I feel really lucky to have.
So inclusion and diversity is, well, I hope, quite important for a number of organisations. How did you come to be at the AFL?
Well, before I was at the AFL, I was the joint campaign director for an organisation called Recognise with Tim Gartrell, and we were running a national campaign to prepare the country for a referendum to recognise First Australians in our constitution and take the racially discriminatory part out of the constitution. We had a partnership with the AFL, cricket and the NRL, and we're increasing our reach into other sports. That was a really successful partnership, and I got a whole new appreciation for the reach of football and how many people you could talk to about issues that they may not pick up in the rest of their lives. So the AFL became a really compelling vehicle once I saw the power of the game. And it's a game I grew up with, living in South Australia, so always had loved the game. And I was fortunate to have a conversation with Gillon McLaughlin, who knew he had AFLW coming, and I had some experience working in women's services and women's policy as well in South Australia, and we got talking, and over a period of time he approached me about a role. So I guess in some ways you could say I was in the right place at the right time, but also, you know, the opportunity to work across issues that I feel really passionate about, women's issues and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues and social justice in general. It was a hard decision to leave the Recognise campaign, but it was the right one for me at the time. And, you know, football is a platform like very few others.
I guess, Tanya, in your job, there's a lot of really hard parts, but there's obviously, I suppose, some really enjoyable parts too. What's been the number one moment for you in your role since you've been at the AFL?
Oh, do I only get to pick one?
As many as you like.
You can, three.
Okay, three.
That's in 50 words or less.
Okay, so I guess one of the first ones would be the appointment of Peter Matera, to the AFL Tribunal. He starts this season. He's the first Aboriginal person to be appointed to the AFL Tribunal. I see that as a really sensational and important step, you know, to have, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in decision-making. I think when I started, of 18 clubs, there was only one Aboriginal person on a club board, and that was Gold Coast Suns, Samantha Riley, so a woman as well, so that was great. There's now five Indigenous people on club boards across the league, and I know that will continue to grow. I think that's really important, having diversity in decision-making is as important as seeing it on the field, and that's when you move from just diversity to actual inclusion, you know, which is why I guess my appointment to the AFL executive was quite a big deal. I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but it was. And probably the final one would be the unveiling of the Nikki Winmar statue at Optus Oval last year, the first Aboriginal AFL player statue, and the fact that it was more than just an embodiment of Nikki Winmar, but it stood for this, you know, what he was standing for at the time, which was to say no to racism. So that was incredibly symbolic and a wonderful celebration. And I don't think I'll ever forget seeing the community come together, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, to celebrate that moment in such a positive way. I don't think I'll ever forget that.
It's hard to believe that it was such a long time ago that Nikki Winmar did that. And until the statue, it sort of had gone away a bit weirdly, you know, him in the folklore. But then the statue's unveiled, as you said, and it's brought it right back to the surface. And I think it's been really celebrated what he did and applauded all over again, which is great.
It is. And, you know, with every anniversary, we tend to do those things in five-year blocks, don't we? So, you know, I think we'll remember and, you know, I've been back to Optus since then, and I've seen people with their families having photos taken and hearing children who don't know who Nikki Winmar is ask about that moment and, you know, hear people talking about that. And, you know, it's really easy to jump past the importance of and the significance of symbolism, a bit like, you know, the what will always be now an iconic image that Michael Wilson took of Taylor Harris with that kick. You know, she's out there doing her job and somehow it becomes an iconic moment because it's a woman. And then she's obviously vilified and, you know, receives all this misogynistic behaviour as a result of her just, you know, showing her excellence and athleticness. And, you know, these things matter because they do represent a time where we started to have a new conversation, and that's always important.
The you mentioned Taylor Harris. The way she's held herself through all these challenges, say, particularly the one you just mentioned, has been extraordinary. For a young woman to be able to... She was on, I think it was SEN Today or yesterday, and sat there for half an hour and was eloquent and was patient and was calm. And so young, and she's a great role model, really, isn't she?
Yeah, look, she is. And I guess I would say that, you know, what's really special about listening to our AFLW players speak about their experience in the game and what's happening in their lives is that they're sort of standing on the shoulders of giants, of all of those women in football that have come before them, who carved out away and ensured that we're at this moment. What I love is seeing that continuum and that growth. And I just think, you know, young people in society are often considered to be naive or lacking in sophistication and experience. But I think time and time again, we see young people all across the country in sport and outside of it standing up, being very clear about what they think and having the opportunity to consider issues that, you know, perhaps we would have thought isn't their place to consider. So I just think, you know, of course someone like Taylor's going to emerge through something like this as quite the role model, but I always like to bring it back to all of those people whose voices perhaps we didn't hear, you know, many years ago when they were trying to say the same sorts of things. And it's just exciting to me that, you know, someone like Taylor is carrying, I think, the burden of this responsibility by virtue of the attention she's received so strongly and courageously.
Now, Tanya, obviously one of the things that's of great importance to us and our listeners is the inclusion of the LGBTIQ plus community in AFL. Can you talk to us about what the AFL is doing in that space at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Look, we have been, I think, you know, since probably 2009, I'm told, you know, really starting to engage in these issues. So, you know, in 2009, we sort of updated Rule 35, as it's known now, of our what was originally a racial and religious vilification rule to pick up all forms of vilification, including in relation to, you know, sexuality and preference and gender identity. So that's a really significant rule, and we're actually reviewing that rule again, largely because of what social media is bringing to the table in that way, to see how we can be more effective around those issues. And we're very fortunate that Roe Allen, the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner of Victoria, is sitting on that review committee with us, and Roe's been a wonderful advisor and provoker of me in terms of making sure we understand those issues well. So I'm really fortunate to have had Rose support in these conversations. We're a member of Pride in Sport now in the last couple of years, which means that, you know, we're being accountable to that network in terms of putting in a submission every year to talk about what we are doing and what we still plan to do. Obviously, the Pride game between St Kilda and Sydney is going from strength to strength, and we're seeing that obviously in the women's game as well, and we know that that's going to continue to grow, and it's a really, really important part of our fixture. And obviously I'm always ready to talk with all of you. And
great.
Yeah, we're going to continue to, you know, do work in terms of all of those things. And as I understand it, in terms of gender diversity, we're the first contact sport in the world to have come up with a policy for the elite level of the game. And very soon we'll be releasing our policy for community football as well.
Well, Tanya Hosh, we better let you go because you've got an awful lot to do. Thank you very much
for
chatting.
Can I say thanks for your support and your leadership in all of this as well? I know that you have to work really hard to, you know, bring light to the work that you're doing and the conversations that you're helping facilitate. So I just really want to, you know, say thank you to you. Happy International Women's Day on Sunday, and look forward to seeing you at the footy.
Great. Thanks very much, Tanya.
Thanks, Tanya.
Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
It is Beck, Moddy and Rachel on Chicks Talking Footy. Now, I make no secret of the fact that one day this show will be called Chicks Talking Adelaide Crows, and our next interview is a step in that direction. Welcome, Ange Foley from the Adelaide Crows.
Thanks. That's a great name for it.
I thought so. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now, Ange, last week you had both Erin Phillips and Rhianna Metcalf return to the side from their ACL injuries. Let's start with Erin. Yeah. What difference does it make having her back in the side?
Yeah, obviously her leadership's fantastic, just off-field as well. The support that she gave us, even though we were trying to give her support with her ACL on the sideline, she was giving us some great support. But even just her presence on the ground, yeah, it was fantastic for us on the weekend.
And Rhiannon got a baptism of fire, probably having to play longer in the ruck than she thought she might have after Jess Foley was injured. How did you see her return to the game?
Yeah, I think the plan was about 50%, but you can never go by anything. You never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, unfortunately, Foles went down and Bree had to step up, and I think she did a fantastic job. I think both of them did on their first game back. Yeah, it was great to have them out there.
Now, one of the players I've absolutely loved watching over the last couple of years is Anne Hatchard. She's done so much work, you know, to get herself where she is, and she's really become one of the prominent players in the competition. What's it like playing along her and seeing that in transformation, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see that she's been working on her fitness and has come a long way, and then obviously your skills and all that kind of lift as you do that. And she's done some hard work. It hasn't been easy, and you know, just watching that happen as a, you know, as a youngster that Anne is, you know, she's going to be and is starting to become, you know, one of the prominent midfielders in the competition. And I suppose it's great to have her on our team, but it's inspirational, I suppose, you know, not just for those that are watching her, but, you know, us that are on a team that are side by side. So it's great, yeah.
So currently the Crows are sitting fourth in Conference A on percentage. How are you all feeling? Is there still confidence within the team about playing finals?
Yeah, of course. You know, we're competitors and, you know, losses don't sit well with us, and I'm still annoyed at it today. I know I need to move on, but it is what it is in the nature of this competition. And this year, you know, it's great. We spoke about how tight the league is this year. And I mean, having two losses, two from two so far, that's kind of a good thing for us. And, you know, we're not talking finals because I don't think you do that. I think you just, you know, make sure that on the day that you're better than the team that you come up against. And unfortunately, it wasn't the case on the weekend, but it will be come Saturday in Hobart against North Melbourne. I can't wait.
Yeah. I love the confidence.
Yeah, you have to be confident. You have to be confident.
We're chatting to Ange Foley here from the Adelaide Crows. Ange, are you actually a South Australian?
No, I'm not. I'm a Victorian. Yeah,
And so
by my slang.
So when you were drafted to Adelaide, were you living here or and had to go over, or how did that work?
No, so I was one of the girls who were in the Northern Territory at the time. So I was born in Shepparton, Victoria, and moved to Bendigo for uni and played a little bit of footy there. I don't know, the Bendigo Thunder, if you're familiar with that team.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. And so I was played in that inaugural couple of years, which was great. And then took my life up to Darwin for a few years just because, no real reason. And was there for 6 years and ended up on the list for the Adelaide Crows through that partnership, which was fantastic. And I've only just moved to South Australia early 2019. So I'm not a South Australian. I don't know if I'm Victorian or from the Territory, but, yeah, I've been everywhere.
Sure have. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Now, Ange, Aaron Phillips and Chelsea Randall were named co-captains again this year despite both being injured. What's that meant on a practical level in terms of them leading the team?
Oh, the depth of our team is great, and the leadership within that depth is also great. And, I mean, it is odd if you think about it and you look at it from the outside, but for us, those two girls are our captains. And the way that they go about their business day to day, outside footy, inside footy, we look up to them. And if they're the two girls that we want to have lead us and however that may look, whether it's Chelsea, who's actually got a coaching role this year, or it's Erin, who's now only been injected in the team in round four, that is what it is. And ultimately, we made that decision as a club, and we're across it, and it's working for us. And underneath those two girls, I've got five girls, including myself, that form a leadership group. So seven, which is a big number, but the five of us for the first three rounds took on that leadership role, I suppose, as captain, if you want to put it like that. And I feel like our team is, like I said, full of, it's got depth, talent depth, but it's also got leadership depth, and it works for us, so it's great.
We're speaking with one of the co-captains, I believe. I think that's what you've just called yourself Ange, isn't it?
I didn't want to, mate. I captained one game, and I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, you need a badge. Get a badge. Ange Foley, captain.
Yeah, I'll get a badge, sure.
Beck will make you one. She's crafty.
Got the Badger Baker out.
Yes.
We talked about Erin Phillips, and she's talked about a lot about her ACL, but Chloe Shear also did her knee in that same game. What has her progression been back from injury? Because she's not playing, is she?
No, she's not playing, but she's running and she's starting to change direction. And unfortunately, ACLs, you know, don't have a time limit, and you know, Collies would love to be back, as anyone would from an ACL or any injury for that matter. But her progress is just a little bit slower, and she had a setback as well, had a scope maybe a month ago now. And so she's, yeah, just progressing in her rehab as everyone else is. So we've got an ACL club. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's
no, how awful.
Amazing Courageous Legends Club.
Oh, nice. Good.
ACL. Yeah. And so there's about eight girls on the in the club, and I'm hoping to join it. And Ree Medcalf and Erin Phillips graduated, and they're out of the club, which is great. But, yeah, I think what does that take it to? Maybe three or four girls still in it. So.
Well, no one does want to join that, does it?
No, they don't.
Is it difficult to put that sort of thing out of your head, or when you go across the white line, you're just playing footy and you're not worrying about any fear around injuries or anything?
Yeah, for me, on field, definitely don't think about it. Off field, I feel sick.
Yeah.
I watched Ash Bradwell on Friday night, and I was close to tears because, you know, this competition is, I suppose, as much as we are competitors, you feel for each other, and we're kind of going through this journey together, and it's number nine now or whatever it is, and it's not pretty. And I mean, there's so much science and so much research and so much talk about why and how and where and where and whatever, but you just got to cross your fingers, don't you, and try and do all the right things that the professionals are telling us to do, so...
You absolutely do, and it sounds like you're certainly doing that. I did. I did hear a commentator the other day on Melbourne Radio say that whilst female players can learn a lot about the on-field game from the guys, it's the other way around for off-field learnings, and that the female players are leading on how to be people within the football space. Do you think that's the case? Do you see that at your club?
Oh, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I mean, the relationship between the boys and us is only getting stronger, and that's fantastic. And we'll learn from them, and they'll learn from us. I actually sat in a coaching course with about six of them yesterday, so which is fantastic, because I think it's why not? And we've got the facilities and the resources and all that available to us. And if we can, you know, give them any piece of knowledge or whatever ourselves, and they can give us some as well, which is great. But it's in its infancy, right? And with everything, including the ACLs, and we'll only get better, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can fix it somewhat, I suppose.
Well, it's come a very, very long way in four short years, hasn't it, the league?
It has. Mm. Yeah, of course, yep.
Incredible.
I mean, I was speaking about it at the start of this year. You know, when you get asked questions about the deal that we made and all that kind of stuff, and I mean, I'm 31, so I probably think about it a bit differently to everyone else.
What deal do you mean, Ange?
Oh, sorry,
the
player agreement.
Yeah, the player agreement. Yep.
Yeah. So when I got questions about that, I kind of say, you know what, we love this game. Like, that's the reason why we're playing. That's why I put my hand up in Darwin to play footy. And just because it's fun and we're competitors and you get to meet people and do some fun things, and 3 years later I'm sitting here and I'm getting paid to do the game that I just wanted to put my hand up for 6 years ago. So I think, you know, it has come a long way, and it's great and it's building, and I think the AFL has done a fantastic job to get it where it is, and I can't wait to see what it looks like in 10 years.
And you might be a coach by the sounds of it, if you're sitting in a coaching course.
Well, yes, I'm a teacher at the moment, and I've got some young girls who will be playing in a competition in term two and three, and I coached them a little bit last year as well, and there was the opportunity to do a level two, and I thought, why not?
Exactly. Good for you.
Well, yeah. Ange, no pressure, but I've cleared a space on the wall in my office for my third Crows Premiership poster. So I've got the other two up there. So I've just left this space blank for this year. So
great.
I don't want to put added pressure on you, but that's just where I'm sitting. So look.
Okay, well, I'll tell you where I'm sitting. I am number three. And it's my favourite number. And someone did ask me at the start of the season about this. And I said, for one, we're competitors and we always go in to win. But two, my favourite number is three. So I'm not stopping until I get it. So
well, Well, there you go.
If it's this year or next year, whenever it is, it's coming.
Excellent. So just leave it blank. That makes me a very happy Adelaide supporter. Thank you so much for joining us, Ange. It's been great.
No worries. That's all right. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
It's Chicks Talking Footy here, as if you didn't know. Beck, go ahead, caller.
I just wanted to say, it's funny you think about the progress of the competition. So we just spoke to Ange Foley from the Adelaide Crows. She's a member of the leadership. She's one of the best players in the league. I still remember the very first game the Crows played. I went down into the change rooms afterwards and they said, do you want to interview someone? And I said, yes. And they brought Ange over to me. And because it was the first game, I had to ask her what her name was. I had no idea who she was. And I just thought, it shows for me a real progression. Mm.
In yourself, you mean?
Well, yeah. Maybe myself.
Now that you know her name.
It was more about Ange. But you know what I mean? Like, we've really started with this competition from the very beginning.
We have, yeah. We as Chicks Talking Footy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We're probably the leaders of it in some ways.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously. But also now these amazing athletes and sports people are becoming household names.
Exactly.
She was fabulous, Ange.
She was, wasn't
and
she?
As was our previous guest, Tanya Hosh. Anyway, we've got a dinner table coming up. So let's dust off the tuxes, put on the apricot taffeta, and off we go.
I love this segment.
Fly me to the moon. It's just a nice little beautiful intro music we've got there.
It's quite romantic.
The dulcet tones of... Oh, the lights are dim. Sorry, forgot that bit.
Yeah.
Ben, can you just lean over and dim the lights in the studio there?
We need a nice aperitif.
We do.
Yes.
Manservant Dave, will you be able to bring some martinis next time, please?
Yes.
That's a thumbs up
from
Dave.
That's a definite yes.
He's gone mute. It's dinner table time. And Beck, you're leading off with entree.
Yes,
go ahead.
Thank you. For entree, I would like to bring the State of Origin bushfire relief game. Now,
Oh goodness.
It will shock no one that I bloody loved it.
Oh my God, it's AFLX all over again.
It is AFLX all over again. I'm allergic to this entree.
I have had two different people this week, both of whom are in this studio right now, say to me, I bet you loved the State of Origin game. And I said to both of them, yes, I did, because it's like footy, but with pizzazz.
Oh, really?
I was...
Sorry, you sort of 1950s housewife, like Fly Me to the Moon. Yeah. Pizzazz?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was a great cause.
What did you love about it?
No one could knock me on that.
It is a great cause, that is true. That I support.
B, I loved the All-Stars white uniforms. They were really cool.
Have you not bought a good one? Enough reason.
Have you bought one already?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to. And C, like, when do you ever get to see all those players all on the field together?
Every week.
Not together. Not
I didn't think
game.
There was any... there's no sort of grunt or energy around. It really was an exhibition match.
It
was a bit touch football almost.
I grunted a lot about it.
Yeah, well, sorry.
The other thing is it really inspired me that I would like to see State of Origin come back because I harked back to when I was a child and I went to Adelaide Oval and I watched the State of Origin and our local radio station used to give out car stickers that said, Kick a Vic.
Oh, yes. So, but tell me then, how... Will it become competitive if this were to be, if State of Origin comes back and is, let's say, a charity match each year? So next year it's for some other reason. How does it become competitive and not just a showpiece? Because no one wants to get injured.
Well, it won't. But then, I don't know, NRL, State of Origin is a big deal for NRL. Why can they make it work?
That's true. They do make it work.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, well, because it's bigger than the, almost bigger than the premiership.
Well, let's do that then. Let's have it. Why not? Gil, if you're listening, State of Origin for the win.
State of Origin for the women as well?
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone.
Hey, here's something, a question that I've never really thought of because I don't think about rugby. In fact, I actively try not to. But when you said State of Origin, what if you didn't play for either of those teams, come from either of those states? That's bad luck, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't get to be involved in the biggest, you know, biggest game of the year.
You miss out.
I guess that's right. I guess probably when we had State of Origin AFL, it was probably more the case that more players came from only South Australia, Victoria. Yeah. We didn't have as many international players or things like that. So we have to have Victoria and everyone else. But I don't like that. I want to go for South Australia. Anyway, State of Origin is amazing, and everyone who disagrees with me is wrong. Thank you.
Oh, well,
true story.
I disagree with you.
I would also happen to disagree with you, but it was for an amazing cause. Mm. And was there a great crowd?
There was. It was full.
Excellent.
So there.
So go the cause.
It was. It was 50,000 people, yes, or something. Did you go?
No.
Oh.
I watched it on TV, though.
Cool.
50,000 people plus me can't be wrong, though.
No. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, I'll have a crack at the next course.
Please do.
I only, just in my notes here, because you know I'm an avid note taker in preparation for the show, I just wrote concussion.
That's right.
Which we could explain. Almost discuss every week, couldn't we? Constantly. This is off the back of the fact that the Polly Farmer's autopsy
yeah,
that I guess it was on his brain that showed that he had CTE, which I'd love to tell you what that means, but I can't. Something
it's the concussion disease.
The concussion brain disorder. And he's the first person in Australia that's obviously been confirmed to have that. There are other people that are suspicious, have suspicion that they have it. What do we do about it? Like, what do you do about concussion?
I think that there needs to be, I read something during the week that talked about some rule adjustments, like having a concussion sub, because I reckon one of the problems is players don't want to go off, teams don't want to, you know, yes, they do the test, but I think if there was a capacity for it to not be a disadvantage per se, that might help. I mean, I guess helmets are another idea, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, we probably have to look at the stats, though, looking internationally, because the NFL, is it NFL?
Yeah.
In America, they have helmets, and I think they still have a significant problem with concussions and the medical ramifications. I think there's something even broader about all injuries that are sustained in this game. I mean, 11 ACLs, what we discussed for the women in a very short period of time. I know that Dermot recently came out in the media talking about his significant...
Oh, Dermot Burton.
Yes,
yes, he sure did.
The significant injuries that he sustained and the vast number of surgeries that he's had to...
26, I think.
...encounter in order to try and alleviate some of the pain.
And what's he? Probably like 58 50s? Or something?
Yeah, exactly. He's not a normal person.
No. So I also heard that on radio that they're talking about having no tackles and things like that for under 14 and below. But then what happens?
But then what happens when they start at 14? Well, they won't know.
They don't know how to do it, and they don't know how to protect themselves. So that becomes it creates a different dangerous dynamic.
And I assume as well, when you have the same size bodies, same weight, learning how to tackle each other, that's how you learn how to control your body and fall in a certain way and how to do it properly. If you start at 14, I think that could have significant side effects.
Because I think we've seen that already in the women's game, because I've seen some really quite dangerous-looking tackles there from women who didn't get taught how to tackle from a young age. So I don't know that I necessarily agree that taking out tackling in junior levels is... It doesn't teach them how to do it safely.
No, it doesn't at all. I think that could be more trouble than it's worth, for sure.
And properly also to enhance the game. So it's actually a tactical manoeuvre, not something you do to hurt someone and to stop them from being able to continue on the field.
So, and I mean, you know, it's going to be continual problem, concussion, isn't it?
Well, and Polly won't be the last person that they discover has CTE.
No, that no. I mean, there's people like John Barnes and Sean Smith. Sean Smith had a collapse this week, and had to be taken to hospital. Was it a seizure or something this week on a football field? And I think he's finally decided that probably it's time to stop him playing himself. But anyway, that's the very happy main course.
Gosh.
But just at the end of main course, I just do have a presentation for you, Rach.
Now we need the drum roll.
Well, yeah. I was at the supermarket not buying toilet paper.
I was going to say.
No. and I didn't have my bags with me, and there was a whole stack of football team bags, and I have produced you... this.
Oh, buddy!
And not only did I buy this for you, I actually walked around with my shopping in a Hawthorne
shopping bag. I think that is the best present. More than this tangible object, it is you having to walk around and to purchase it. And for that, I am extraordinarily grateful. Happy birthday, Rachel.
Did you feel dirty?
I did. Even my football-hating girlfriend said, sorry, what are you doing with Hawthorn?
What were the other options?
Oh, terrible. Brisbane, you know, there was no Essendon. You would have got one too if there was Adelaide, but yeah, there wasn't. So
all sold out.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah, indeed.
Do we have enough time for a quick dessert?
Yeah, sure.
Just a little dessert?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to be positive, and golly, it's hard, but here we go. Fremantle and Brisbane, AFLW, they are the two teams that remain undefeated, and they're excellent. I think Freo has the best midfield at this point of time, and the reason this is positive is it's so good that we are a federal game.
Federal game. It's such a federal.
Federal game. It's wonderful that interstate... Or yep. Non-Victorian teams.
I gave Rachel a little bit of a lecture before the show, yes, because she was calling them non-Victorian teams. And I said, as a non-Victorian, that feels actually quite offensive. Victoria's not the centre of the universe.
And that's my point of why it's positive. We're not the centre of the universe and we shouldn't be the centre of AFL. And I think it's because we are an Australian league and I think it's really great that we're doing so well. I also just wanted to just also reflect upon what Tanya Hosch was talking to us about. There was a lot of really amazing things that the AFL is doing in the inclusion and social policy space. And I think it was really exciting when she was talking about how the AFL can be such a compelling vehicle to create positive change. And I think that personally with this show as well, that we've seen it with the AFLW, there has been so much continuous positive change and impact that it's had on women in sport, on the LGBTQI community, on people getting out and being active, on, as she was demonstrating as well, on children being able to talk to their parents or friends or family about these statues that are now there of Nikki Winmar, what that means, Taylor Harris, what that means, that women's bodies are powerful, they're not just objects. It's just a really exciting time.
I agree. I think it is. It's as Beck said before, you know, we were here at the start, and we started before AFLW and we got the whispers, you know, through, oh, here it is. And I think there's all those things under Tanya Hosch's remit. Is there power in minorities being recognised?
I think there is.
So, you know, not just it's not just about LGBTI. No. She talked about...
It's about coal community. It's about disability.
Disability, you know, First Nations people, all sorts of people. So all the smaller communities being recognised, maybe there's power coming from that.
And also having people from all of these communities, not just visual, but also behind the scenes and positions of decision-making, which was talking about five Aboriginal people now being on boards.
Peter Matera was on the tribunal.
All of that has a really positive impact and will flow to the ground level.
Absolutely. I also think I might be in love with Taylor Harris.
Okay. Seriously, you should listen to that interview. She did it with Jared Whateley. Yeah. She was so impressive.
And with that is power.
That's right.
Now, ladies, we've got just about enough time to have a quick chat about what we think about this weekend's games. Firstly, is anyone going to one?
I'm going to go to Carlton and St Kilda on Saturday night.
At Icon Park?
Indeed.
Cannoli Park, as it's now known as.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not going to Casey Fields. Sorry, Casey Fields.
I'm not sure.
No, I don't...
It's my birthday weekend, so I could treat myself with some footy or some cricket.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, so quickly, this is one word. Suns versus Cats.
Cats.
Suns.
Well, it is at Great Barrier Reef Arena.
Yeah. Which, so, I mean, sounds cool.
It does sound really cool.
Yeah. Okay, by the end, I'll get through them. We'll pick who we think's going to win, and then we'll choose if we could fly to a game, which it would be.
Okay.
Suns versus Cats.
Suns.
You've said what you... I think Cats up there. North versus Adelaide at North Hobart Oval.
Adelaide. North Melbourne, for sure.
Giants versus... who are they playing? Oh, the Tigers at Robertson Oval, which I'm going to say is... I'm just quickly clicking to venue.
Well, I'm going to say...
Oh, Wagga Wagga.
Oh, GWS.
I'm going to give Richmond their first win. That's coming from me.
In Wayne Carrick... Carey territory. Correct. Up there. Carlton versus St Kilda. I pick Carlton, and that's at Icon Park.
Yeah,
as we
I pick
know.
Carlton.
I pick Carlton.
Pies versus Bulldogs.
That's going to be a really good game.
Yeah. More well.
I'm going to go for the Bulldogs.
I'm going to go for the Bulldogs because the Pies were battered by injuries. Mm.
D's versus Eagles at Casey Fields.
D's.
I'll go the Eagles just for funds.
Dockers versus Lions in Fremantle. Dockers.
Wow, that's going to be a great
game. What a great game.
And where are you going to watch?
I want to go to Great Barrier Reef Oval just because it sounds amazing.
I'm going to Fremantle then to watch Brisbane versus Fremantle.
I'll pop on down to North Hobart Oval.
Wow. Thank you, everyone. The night is over. Chicks Talking Footy. We'll see you next week.
Go Crows.